Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Together you guys move. Drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word and Miss Brown Sugar. We, of course, would love to hear from you, so please give us a call. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. If you want to, you want a live interaction with us, you can always jump into the Blog Talk chat room, or you can go into our even liver Smooth Drama chat room. As a matter of fact, I'm going to stop talking about Blog Talk. I'm going to talk about Smooth Drama, because this is Smooth Drama, right? So you can go into the Smooth Drama chat room and get in there and have a nice conversation with me and some of the other listeners, and Miss Brown Sugar, of course, holding down the fort as always. So if you want to chat with us live, we're there during the show, and we're there for a while after the show. It gets kind of crazy in there. Now, if you're on social media, you can ask to get into the Smooth Drama group, myself or he who looks like a beet smoothie, Mr. J. You ever had a beet smoothie, Brown Sugar?
Beets are disgusting.
Okay. Alright. Well, he who reminds you of a smoothie.
He looks like
Mr.
a beet smoothie?
I don't know. I'm just talking
maybe
crazy.
Mango?
Yeah, mango. He's a mango smoothie. Anyway, if you want to get into the Smooth Drama group, myself or Mr. J will add you to the Smooth Drama group. All right. And, of course, we are talking about the scrumptious apocalypse. It just gets juicier and juicier by the day. Why the apocalypse is so juicy? Brown Sugar?
Why is it so juicy? I don't know. Why is it juicy this week?
So, if I walked up to you, and I said this, I'm gonna lay out some proclamations that seem to be out there, and folks are cool with it. So, hey, you know what? I had COVID, but guess what? I'm immune to it. It's matter of fact, I'm gonna speak my clout. Yeah, I had COVID a couple weeks ago. But it looks like I'm immune for, I don't know, maybe a long time, maybe a short time. It could be a lifetime. Nobody really knows. If I said that, what would you think?
That you were weird or crazy or, I don't know, misinformed. I don't know.
Okay.
Something would not be right, though. That would not be a positive. Well, you know what? I would say that if we just met, then I would probably. But if it was somebody that I've known, I probably would think they were just being silly. So then, I don't know.
So I'd be silly? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, if you said that to me, yeah, I would think you were just being silly. I wouldn't take you seriously. No.
So if I said I had a protective glow.
Protective glow?
A protective glow.
Is that like a high pro glow like the dogs used to get when they used to eat that food? The dogs?
No, just a protect. Yeah, it's I've got that protective glow. And you didn't even have to spray it on me. I just got that.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, well, I mean, these are like presidential proclamation, right? It's things that are said by people in charge.
Yeah, I don't know what the protective glow is.
Protective
Maybe
glow.
He's talking about his aura. Maybe he feels like his aura is protective.
Yeah, he's got a, you know, my glow keeps Corona away from me.
Oh. Well, I'm sure 200 and...
You're sure what?
5,000 people. I'm sure the people who've passed away and the millions of people who have it, who've had it, wish the same thing.
True.
But it didn't stop him from getting it, though. He already had it. Well, he says he had it. I personally don't think he had it, but yeah.
Yeah, me too. It was hilarious because for the most part, Biden was like, nah, I ain't getting on the stage with your disease ass. He didn't say it.
Exactly.
He didn't say it, but you know, he's pretty much like, yeah, you're still infectious, homie. I'll stay away from you. He's like,
we're going to let that pass for a little longer.
Right. And so, I mean, and apparently he didn't even want the protective glass, but you know, if I'm Biden and you old like him, it's like I probably wouldn't have took that chance either. It's like, even if you faking, you probably got something. Ebola. I mean, he just looked like he's got something.
Yeah, I don't want nothing that
right.
I can
so
get.
It's like whatever he has. I mean, because I mean, we're going to be honest. Homie don't look like he washes hands. I don't think he don't look like he washes hands.
You know, I've never really looked at his hands, if they stay orange like his face or not. Because if they stay orange, then most likely he doesn't. Because after you've washed yourself so much, that spray tan stuff comes off. So
yes, but that's what I'm saying. It's see, he doesn't come off as somebody that showers on the regular. I mean, I could be wrong. It could be some Coming to America stuff where he's the royal penis is clean, your highness, where people bathe him or whatever. I just don't see him like, hey, I'm gonna get in the shower. I don't see it. I could be wrong. But he doesn't come off as hygienic. You know, he just looks like a dirty person. Now, and I'm not talking about philosophically. We already know he's a dirty person philosophically, right? You know, he's con man, evil to the core. But he just looked like somebody that would probably have a smell to him. I'm just thinking out loud. It's just something I thought about.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah,
it wouldn't surprise me.
You know, it just, I don't think bathing, I mean, he's on Twitter. I mean, is he in the shower? Probably not. I just thought that. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. And speaking of what I don't think I'm wrong about, there was so since we talk presidential politics whatnot, there was a column, and you know they were talking about Biden's tax plan, and it was in the Wall Street Journal. And there were people who, you know, they were saying, you know what, $400,000, that's not really a lot of money. You can go broke real quick. You know, they said, and this was a serious article. I actually read it. It was funny. Said, is $400,000 really considered rich? Yeah, because he said that being rich is driving a luxury car or two, having a NetJet account for private jet travel at $10,000 an hour, front row seats to NBA games, and a 100-foot yacht to sail the high seas with mysterious people. And he says no one earning a mere $400,000 a year could afford all that.
No.
Yeah, because he says that on $400,000 a year, it'd be tough to have a 3 or 4 bedroom home and pay your kids tuition to college and save money for your 401k and go on 2 to 4 vacations a year. Yep.
Yeah.
That's so that the whole plan, you know, because the basics, the basis of the argument was at 400K, if you're taxing me, then I'm probably going to be left over, what, about $100, $200 a year because of taxes. I read that.
Okay.
I read that. I couldn't. Now, I guess yes, you could spend 400K a year. You could, you know, if you have a NetJets account and you're doing that $10,000 an hour on your NetJets, yeah, I could see how you probably wouldn't make, you know, wouldn't be able to make ends meet because those jet rides is kind of essential, right? Like we talk about essential workers, we talk about essential. Yeah, a jet set account, a NetJet account.
How are you going to get places?
You know, because
catch a taxi to Paris.
No, you cannot. And I'm above first class on the plane. Yeah. It's going to take like 12 hours when I get there in a couple hours in my jet.
No.
Just saying.
My personal private jet.
So
I have to keep fueled and pay the pilot and yeah.
Yeah. So see that's what they're talking about when they say Joe Biden is gonna leave you broke for all you people out there listening, making $400,000 and up. If you're one of those poor people who are at the poverty line, the $400,000. I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know what you're going to do. You're going to have to cancel that jet account. I know it's tough, but you're going to have to net jet. You're going to have to get up off of it. Yeah.
You have to start slumming, huh?
Man, it's tough, right?
Yeah, so many decisions, so many things.
You know, sometimes when you hear this stuff, you wonder how people can. But then I suspend my belief and I say, you know what? We are talking about evil folks, so that's not really a shot. I know. I'm just gonna stop at evil. I don't need no more. I mean, cause evil kind of encompasses all that.
Well, no, because you can be evil and poor and not have anything but yourself. You can still be evil. All these rednecks running around here, you know what I mean, with their hate. They don't have these jets and, you know, they do have entitlement, though, too. So.
Okay. All right.
You know?
I guess we can go back there. So, I mean, you start talking about what people think, and so, you know, just talking about evil, right? So, yeah, you can be poor and evil. All right. There's some common sense that people are missing. You know, because a lot of times we're in other people's business, and a lot of times people, like, you remember that what did they call it, the next film, that the NXIVM, the sex cult.
I do remember, and so
you know, apparently, old girl was 19 years old. One of the people, her name's Oxenberg. She first joined at 19, and you know, I'm like, so we gonna go into what is a cult, right? We just gonna go in, because it just seems like for some reason folks that are adults can't see it. Where you would think it's kind of plain and simple, right? So, mm-hmm. Once again, if I step to you, Brown Sugar, and I'm like, hey, sister, guess what? I have a group that's about self-empowerment. You come live with me, Rich, you don't have to pay for nothing. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to clothe you. It's going to be about your self-empowerment. And we're all going to live in a stress-free, very soothing environment where I'm going to build you up and I'm going to make you feel like the most important person in your life so you can be present in your life. If somebody recruited you and said that, what would you say?
I mean, I'd probably inquire about it a little bit more.
You'd be interested in it?
Maybe just a little.
Okay. I mean, because we used to call that the Playboy Mansion, but we evolved past that, I guess.
Mm.
That was like the Playboy Mansion. That was, you know, that place where a bunch of women would go, and you know, you remember the allure, the Playboy Mansion.
Yeah.
Ooh, I gotta get to the Playboy. And so that was kind of the Playboy Mansion. The Playboy Mansion was the sex cult before everything start being called the sex cult. I mean, wasn't Hugh Hefner like a cult leader?
In some ways, yeah, I would say so, yeah, in some ways.
I'm just thinking, because, you know, a lot of people have gone, and remember the Playboy Mansion was like a prize. It was like, if you got to go to the Playboy Mansion, that's it. You done made it. It don't even matter no more. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It don't even matter no more. So, we fast forward to this, the next of him, or whatever it is, however you pronounce it. It had over 16,000 members. They had a compound, and it was supposedly self-love and empowerment, and I'm just saying, now there's a reality And then there's a reality.
Mm-hmm.
If I offer you, you don't have to do anything but live here. It's all good. We've got, we have this compound. That's a cult, right?
I mean, I would be leery because I'm familiar with Jim Jones and David Koresh. So I would be leery just from that. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I don't see, because I feel like even Donald Trump is like a cult leader to a certain degree, because he could say the craziest stuff and he continues to have followers. So I don't know. I think people who are really looking for something to believe in and to hold on to, then, you know, that's what they want, something that's out there.
Okay. All right. So, what I'm saying is, this is because it ended up because dude branded his initials on them and all that, like with what you brand cattle with, right? So
yeah.
they went through it, but once again, these are adults.
But at 19, are you really an adult, though? Really? Are you really an adult at 19?
Well, first, according to the story, her parents knew where she was.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just sad.
So, you start right there. The parents knew where she was. Yeah. So I mean, because we talk about the whole R. Kelly thing, and we've talked about, I've talked about Hugh Hefner. I mean, in this, it's a compound. It's adults. And if adults want to do some crazy stuff, all right. I don't know what happened there. Sorry. There seems to have been some continental drift. Hello, Brown Sugar.
Hey.
apparently, we can't talk about sex cults. We might want to just
maybe
leave that
not,
alone. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, because, yeah. So, guess what? We're going to go on break, recalibrate, and be back. This is Run DMC, Peter Piper. Run, run,
don't want that.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was Run DMC, Peter Piper. Call in number is 347-826-7435. 347-826-7435.
All right. Let me apologize to Brown Sugar for stepping into her Kool-Aid. My bad.
No.
All right. Oh, speaking of stepping into the Kool-Aid, you believe in the Loch Ness Monster?
I used to.
What made you stop?
I don't know. I got older.
Okay.
I believe in that. I mean, it's like anything else. You believe in Santa Claus. You believe in the Easter Bunny.
The Loch Ness Monster and Santa Claus is on the same level with you?
I mean, I'm not saying that there may not be some kind of creature in there, but it may not necessarily be the Loch Ness Monster. I think it's just, I think it's Bigfoot. It's the same thing.
Okay. So if I told you that sonar had detected a mysterious 30-foot-long shape 500 feet below the surface of Loch Ness, Would that change your mind? I'm just asking.
No, if somebody's just telling me, then no, I'd have to actually see the pictures, and then I'd have to see it come up out of the water.
Okay. Yeah, they actually had the picture though.
Okay. Yeah. And it's like a shadow. It's a shadow shape.
Yeah, it's 500 feet below the surface. So, yeah.
I mean, it doesn't. I mean, it doesn't necessarily. I don't know.
No.
I mean, I know there's weird things in the world and unusual things. I'll say.
But here's what I'm saying. So, depending on what you believe, don't believe, whatnot. So, like, even if, and we'll just throw this out. Even if there. If you believe that the Noah and the flood, which is in pretty much everyone's ancient lore, if you believe in that the flood wouldn't mess with creatures that live underwater, right? Because they live underwater. Right, meaning it wouldn't bother them that it's flooded, because they already live underwater. I'm just saying, because I've seen pictures, I've seen video where there was one it was like an octopus. It was like, I don't know, like 50, 60 feet long.
I believe like an octopus could get that big. Yeah.
Right. If you have underwater creatures,
The Loch Ness monster is like a dragon, serpent type thing. The pictures that I've seen that are drawn, you know, or the fairy tales that I've read, then yes, it's like a scaly, you know, it's a hodgepodge of a lot of different animals. So,
okay. Well, yeah. I mean, because there are certain, quote unquote, what they call dinosaurs that would fit that description.
Yeah.
No, I just asked that question because, yeah. Because people believe what they believe, right? That's kind of how. And if enough people believe it, then it's true. That's generally how that goes, right?
It shouldn't, but it does. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. That's the American, that's the world way, actually. I'm not going to say the American way. That's the world way. Somebody could say, because to me, a Loch Ness monster is not something that I would discount, because large creatures under the water in the ocean, the ocean takes up 70% of the world. So, That's not really something that would be a shock, because I'm guessing way down the bottom of the ocean, yeah, there's probably some life. I mean, because we can't exist down there, because just the pure weight would crush us. So I believe in that. I believe. There's a lot of stuff that probably lives way down there because, one, they don't have to deal with humans.
Yeah, and they don't get any sunlight either.
Yeah, so you don't really need it. Well, and I bring that up because, they were talking about patriotic education, right? Because, They announced a new commission to support patriotic education. And the words are, we must clear away the twisted web of lies in our schools and classrooms that teach our children the magnificent truth about our country. We want our sons and daughters to know they are the citizens of the most exceptional nation in the history of the world. Because the most exceptional nation
in
history.
I feel like we are no longer fooling anybody but ourselves.
Nobody's
fooled by America anymore.
Well, but it's the Loch Ness Monster. It's the Loch Ness Monster. Right? Mm. So some people believe, some people don't. And so it's how you raise to believe. Because, I mean, if for some people who've never traveled, there's not a perspective on,
and so,
because a lot of times we take technology and the access to technology as advanced. And so when, I talk about Loch Ness Monster, and people are like, oh, well, it never comes up. It doesn't really come up. It's like, why does it need to if all the food is down at the bottom? I came up, y'all was bothering me, took my pictures, and all this other stuff followed me around. So I'm staying down at the bottom. It's a learned behavior. Like we had talked about how when COVID happened and everybody was inside, the animals came out. And now the animals, they have to unlearn their behaviors. It's sort of like there was in the zoo, the gorillas. The gorillas are fighting in the zoos, and people are like shocked. They had to close, like, what? The gorillas are being like gorillas? It's like, yeah, because y'all wasn't around, so they got to actually be themselves. And so, patriotic education is about going back to the facade that the zoo is, right? Because the zoo gives you the facade that these animals are docile and this is just the way nature is, when we know that is not true. At least you should know that that's not true. And we've seen evidence where people who have been, I'm trying to think of a word that I can use here. And so, as always, I just make some stuff up. Zoofied. People who are zoofied, they have a consciousness that all the animals in the world are going to act like the animals in the zoo. Thus, we see the people who barely get out when the cheetahs are surrounding them. When the lion,
and they're surprised and like, oh my god!
Right, the woman who was, the daughter got out and wanted to take a picture with the lion, and the mama went out to save her dumbass, and daughter made it back, but the mama did not.
And so
that's. That's what patriotic education is. It's zoofying people. So we're gonna go all the way out with the adjective. It's zoofying you, where you think the zoo is natural. I mean, because that's basically, what they want. It's like, it's uncomfortable, the truth, right? Because people can't deal with the truth, and it's. It's what I was talking about last week when I was talking about hygiene. People are rebelling against physical and mental hygiene, and now they're just rebelling against the truth. So patriotic education is like, look, we just can't tell the truth. That's why it's like, history. Once again, we take American history, we know, there's something that happened before Greece and Rome. It was cool, it was awesome, but we not gonna talk about that. We need to talk about Greece and Rome. Because they stole some great knowledge. Maybe it came from Atlantis. And there's this place we won't call it the Middle East, that's got these magnificent cultural buildings. Everything is it was awesome, but they stole from them and made it better. Well, they didn't steal; they just perfected what they did lesser. and then when they fell, and for 700-800 years, nothing happened. And then there was the Renaissance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then America was founded. And greatness happened in the world.
Mm-hmm.
American history, 101.
Yeah.
But just world history.
Quick note.
Yeah.
Quick note.
You could throw some stuff in there, but it wasn't really that important when it happened. So that's patriotic education right there. It's the zoofication. We just gonna keep throwing zoo in there. The zoofication of the people. You don't need the truth. Why are we gonna do that?
Yeah, keep
the truth is too much.
Everything dumbs everything down, yeah.
Yeah, the truth is too much. The truth is way too much. And so when you see the people and how they struggle with it, how they struggle really hard. I mean, because you see it, you feel it in the air. How people are like, man, y'all really want us to think y'all are important. Y'all really want that. That's what you want. And it's like you've heard it. I mean, we heard it during the Obama administration, right? How they said it's so hard. It's so hard being a white man. And lost nothing, but it was the fact that they had to, they just looking at a black man on TV, it was too much. It's like, he's the president.
It was.
Right. I mean, it just the mental strain of having to look at Obama.
Yeah.
It didn't even matter. It didn't even matter what he did, and I'm going to give you money and all this other stuff. None of that stuff mattered. To them, it was like, y'all still winning, but whatever. Right? Whatever. And that's patriotic education. That's the zoofication, the zoology. I mean, that's a real word. The zoology of the American people. Patriotic education.
It's
funny. Public service announcement. To people out there, I'm not trying to be racial, but to white people, if y'all are taking signs, you know, this is a sensitive time for white people. Y'all out there taking signs from each other, be wary, because people. There was in Charlotte, there was a worker was injured in Michigan. That worker was injured removing a Trump sign that they had laced with razor blades on the edge. So when you go to pick it up, he sliced his arm.
Yeah, catch a good follow up.
Yeah, and so there's also, you know, like talks, rumors that people are putting all kinds of stuff on these signs. So if like you pick it up, you may get an infectious disease and stuff like that. That's what they're saying. Yeah. So just as a public service announcement, if you're one of them people, I'm going to take this from you. I'm going to take it away. I'm going to take the sign out people's yards. Know that there are some people who are like, yeah, go on, take my sign. You're going to get it. Just saying. I'm trying
and
to help y'all.
That's not cultish. I don't know what is.
I'm not gonna say that's cultish. No, that's just a practice. See, remember when Dave Chappelle was talking about how when his friends were talking and he was making the point where he said, hey, I asked a dude about politics and he's like, hey, man, you getting too personal. In the meantime, he's talking about fucking his wife in the ass. Right?
<Yeah.
laughs> But you asked him about the politics. No. And so you gotta think. I mean, you look at it literally. You look at literally how people react. So, like, for this is the zoophile part. Zoorific, all that. When black folks are used to being disenfranchised and not feeling right about elections. I mean,
mm-hmm.
But the resolve is still there to get out there. I mean, like in Georgia, I don't know if you saw it, in Georgia, the early voting started today and they had lines that were like a mile long.
Wow.
Yeah, they were out there waiting for hours, like, we're going to vote. Supposedly, that's what they wanted to, that's what they wanted to do. You know, you want to make it as hard as possible because obviously you being involved in the process. And at the end of this month, before the election, I put together a thing. We're going to talk about the propositions and what our vote really means. I'm going to do a show talking about that. But that's why I digress into that. I'm just saying that people, you know, that there's a resolve this year. And you've seen record numbers of signups. And this first day of early voting in Georgia shows that, yeah, people are like, yeah, no, you want to change.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a tangible, hey, we want to get out because they, you know, that's the energy. Hey, we want to affect change. And this is how we affect change by voting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in the spirit of that, in Pennsylvania mailman, he threw away all the mail in his truck because apparently he was on the route where a lot of people in Pennsylvania were their mail-in ballots. Mm-hmm. Homie had put it out to trash, you know, to be picked up by trash.
Which I don't understand because couldn't it be Trump votes in there? I don't understand, like, who's doing that.
Oh,
like,
no.
Is it because it's a, I don't know.
No, see, what would happen is this. So there are certain areas where, remember, America is still pretty segregated.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So when we talk about gentrification, now gentrification is talking about is, you know, it used to be there would be black folks would or anybody else would move to a neighborhood and all the white people would leave. You know, and we know gentrification is when the white people come back. And the black people are forced to leave. And so what's happening is, you know, through gerrymandering, and remember, this is politics. And I'll never forget that conversation that I had with the dude who works the political campaigns in Long Beach, and he was like, yeah. They leave nothing to chance. Zero, zip, nada. So if they're in a district and they're throwing away votes, they know probably about 95% right, who votes there and how they vote. So that's how you can safely throw away those ballots. So you would say, yeah, there's a 5% chance that 5% of these votes are for my guy. The other 95%, probably not. So I'm going to toss all of them. So at the end of the day, my guy only lose 5%. He was going to lose in that district anyway.
Yeah.
So that's I mean, because it's really blatant. I mean, they're not even, it used to be you would do something sly like the poll tax. It would just be, you know, because you say, I'm going to suppress the black vote. And nobody cares. Well, nobody historically didn't care when you suppress the black vote. Now, it's suppressing all votes. If you have a district, Brown Sugar, wherever I know that I'm historically not going to win, I'm going to mess with the votes there. See, it's an ingenious thing because you complain about something that you're causing. You know, it's sort of like it's the Ronald Reagan and Nancy Reagan ploy, right? Nancy Reagan,
just say no.
Just say no. This is your brain on drugs, while hubby is bringing the drugs in. Hmm. You know, and so you say, hey. This election, it's messed up. It's going to be voter fraud. It's not going to be right. And you say that because you know for a fact that you are messing it up. So that's that truth. See, because the truth is, yeah, you know when something bad is going to happen because you're causing it. Yeah, we're doing the war on drugs because I'm bringing it in. So I know exactly where to go. And so this right here, yeah, voter fraud, because I'm in charge of sabotaging the vote. Which is why he put that out there, because he knows beyond the shadow of a doubt that it's messed up, because I'm messing it up. That's the thing. It's so ironclad. I mean, it's so in your face, and so you see the anger, because there's a fatigue, right? We talk about. They talk about the protest fatigue that they were saying, oh, we would have protest fatigue. Yeah, the oppressed people. It's like, well, we don't have protest fatigue. That's protest fatigue syndrome. No, we're not tired of protesting, especially in time. I mean, because this is a truth time. See, one segment of the population ain't about that truth. So this has been, COVID has been the roughest thing in the world, because you have to see what we already knew. We didn't need glasses to know. Our glasses, we got 20/20 vision when it comes to America. And so now the people, they didn't have their reading glasses on. Now they're forced. They're forced to see it. And that's the struggle. That's the struggle. I mean, for example, it's so ugly. You know that plot to kidnap the governor in Michigan? Apparently, they was going to do a two for brown sugar. They was going for the governor in Virginia, too.
Yeah, and I'm not quite. So I know it's a militia group, but what is their issues with them, with the governor? I don't know that.
Oh, well, see, there are two different groups. There's the anarchists who they're like, fuck the government and everything they stand for. And then there's the white supremacists who are like, fuck the government and everything they stand for. But we want us to, both sides want themselves to be in charge. And those sides are fighting against each other. And then there's the politicians, and you know, cause honestly, if you're Trump, you don't care. They're not coming to get me. They're coming to get you. See, because now it's, you know, it's what I was talking about with the politics. You know, white folks skew Democrat, Republican, right, left. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't make a difference who's right or wrong. There's a side, and I'm on that side. And there's, of course, there's other people that we've seen who jump on that bandwagon. So it wouldn't matter who made the most sense or who did the most evil. Because he's on my side, I just got to let it ride. So you'll have racist people who will vote against Obamacare even though that shit helps them out. Cause, well, it's Obama. Yeah, I mean, we're talking about poor people who are against the Affordable Care Act.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the dumbest things that I could say. Poor people against the Affordable Care Act. You would think as a poor person, if it has affordable care in front of it, yeah, I would probably support that. Like, oh, what? So I get to pay less. Bet.
Yeah, but at least let's just see what they're talking about.
Right. I mean, because it's like, you know, when they... And I've been saying this for the longest. We talk about student loans. Wayne Messam said it. I was down with Wayne Messam. Michelle Warren said it. I was down with Michelle Warren. Bernie Sanders said it. I was down with Bernie Sanders. Then Bernie Sanders made the condition. Hey, you're going to have to say this shit for me to support you. Then I'm down with Joe Biden. If Trump abolishes student loans, I'm down with Donald Trump. I know it sounds crazy, but we talking about over $100,000 decision. And so y'all talking about politics, and I'm talking about my issue. I mean, because that's what it comes down to. So when you see people and you see, oh, I'm left, I'm right, I'm like, look, Donald Trump, if he gets rid of me and my homies and my brothers, our student loans, he did more for black people than anybody else that went to college.
Abraham Lincoln, he said.
Yeah, I know.
He's already done more than any other.
Yeah, but I would put him there. I would sing his praises. I mean, because I'm it's like if Donald Trump got rid of student loans, I would print out a picture and laminate it and carry a picture of Donald Trump in my wallet. You know, we was joking the other day. Biden does it. He ain't even Joe Biden no more. He's Lord Biden. And I will print out a picture of him and put it in my wallet and carry it around. And dare you to say something about Lord Biden. Dare you. Cut you. That's how I feel about it. Okay, we talking about 100K.
Talking about 100K. You picked a side to be on, and that's where you're sticking to. So.
Yeah, I'm picking my side.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of people, you're not making no sense. I'm like, my side makes sense. Because I look at it like, I don't see the difference if they're not doing nothing for me and mine. Because that's the point. What are they doing for me and mine? Because if Biden does nothing for us, what? He's no different than Trump to me.
I agree.
It's issues. It's not what party. I'm talking about issues.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we gonna come back to this. Gonna go on break here. This is Bronze Nazareth Street Corners.
Looking on various street corners, I'm sure you've seen it yourself. Standing on the corner is an alleged brother dressed in blue or green, red, and black, and spouting the news that the revolution is coming and you better get ready, sort of like the end of the world is coming. Unfortunately, the world is just going to drag on and on. And we have a form that we bring particularly for
standing on porch in front of the house at the corner store. My border more horrific, Hitler's from where we live it. Hello, earth, where we happy with shit square. We so close to get real. All my folks in Smithfield from Israel. It's Kill Hill, spell fellows from my bill. Right wheels from my seat to live from. Take some, give some. For brothers that was lynched some. The symptom, never go away or stow away from cold away. Have a rap in the savage, blasting a task in a soul bump. Two more Russians for the oranges and lost markets. I'm all across for food and full course. I'm slowing towards the night low. My hat's low, my lungs grow. For you to soon know, my grief will choose so. We just playing down for wild burial. Young black man, taking control of the villas. Living buried in dirt. How many railroads do you own? How much clean chrome you own? Before my hands are named and graved and stone on the road. The rebel, what's wrong? We build homes, civilized our own. King Solomon and child, beautiful as black as time. We will walk from water to town. We will keep through the miles of time. Prepare troops to move in, expand the runway, build bigger bridges. 9 millimeters from Britain, we living in war. So prepare for the mission. Apache helicopters, a black man's face with a dollar. The pig constantly watches. The streets is obnoxious. Baby, you're the first time on that block. First time.
feet of the dark E-E-E-E-E-E-E. Need a fall for the brain, who's my feet wanna be? Father, the new fresh lips, she ain't bitching. Mama's working two jobs, trying to make ain't a living. You can't pass, now she get raised by the streets. Stop, stop, watch, hustle, now she sleeps like the streets. For my women living in the struggle, getting brought into this world without asking for the troubles of the everyday night. A bad advice, single mother holding it down by the world so straight. Crack being you could have been something better life. Now hold your head up high, know it ain't over the right. Yeah, this is for my Russians on the grind. I walk the road struggling, trying to hold the 9 to 5. Yeah, I've seen enough with these guys. I thank the Most High, I'm still alive.
Together you got Smooth Drama.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was Bronze Nazareth Street Corners. And our phone number is 347-826-7435. 347-826-7435.
All right. So, there's, if you plan on voting, there's armed groups that say they plan on being out there. That's how serious it is. So it's,
yeah, this is just unheard of to me. And everybody is making it seem like it's just, oh, it's just another election. And it's like, no, this has never happened before.
No. So, see.
We were fighting to vote, but I mean,
yeah,
that
but
was
see,
something to me different.
Is it? Is it though?
In the sense to where we all have the freedom to vote the way we want to vote, and we're being intimidated
mm-hmm.
to vote a certain way.
Okay.
So not,
no,
you know,
you're being intimidated not to show up. I mean, because remember, Reconstruction. See, this is one of them things that's not part of patriotic education. During Reconstruction, there were more representations in Congress and the Senate, people that look like us, than there's been in the 20th and the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's one of those things that's just not, I mean, because, you know, people voted and then they're like, yeah, that's not going to work for us. It's not going to work for us. Y'all have a representation. Y'all having your own communities and taking care of yourselves and being self-sustaining and not beholden to us. It was just more like y'all look like y'all got it going on and we can't have that. It wasn't a good look. They couldn't sleep at night because, you know, the former slave could do what they want and they did it. It just didn't feel right. And so,
mm-hmm.
intimidation. You had the Ku Klux Klan, which is still around. And, you know, white supremacists, different groups. We can call them abolitionists, whatnot. It's mm-hmm. whatever. The names can change, but the intent stays the same. Power for us. And we'll give you a little something. We'll give you a little something. That's the dynamic. That's the American dynamic. And so that's why you see. And that's what I was talking about when I said zoophied, because we had to make up a word. zooified because you want people, and see, you make that analogy between the former slave locked up in slavery and the zoo, right? Because we know if you open up the cages, those animals may not necessarily run away from the zoo. It's tough. Some of them will, but most of them is going to make, it's like, this is, it ain't that bad.
Yeah.
And so that's that situation we have here where you're going to, the voter suppression, what's playing out in the street. I mean, because people are like so shocked, like, man, even in the light of the cameras in their face, and we see it, and it's acknowledged, and they know that they did wrong. Still nothing. Mm-hmm. No contrition. Nothing.
Nothing.
And you know, and so there's the initial shock, and then there's the pro, and so now it's gotten to the point where, well, hey, yeah, we're good because we can do it to them. And now it is leaking over into other parts of society. I mean, because once again, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so when you give folks, we call it qualified immunity, when you give them that where I can just do whatever and get away with it, I'm going to do whatever and get away with it.
That's, of course, why not?
Yeah, you know, that's what we have.
Well, I mean, people do that all the time in different situations. So I don't understand why that's so shocking, that situation, as opposed to others that, you know, maybe not be as threatening per se, but people do it all the time.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what we're saying here. It's at a point where corruption, and so, you know, I talk about the Rome comparison, where Rome got to a point where there was East and West Rome. And you can say Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal, they split because ideologically they couldn't coexist any longer.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the fall of Rome. You know, once they split, you know, it took a few more generations, but you know, it's ideological thing because it got so corrupt that it didn't matter. And so when corruption gets there where it can just go, it's like gangrene, right? Once you get that infection and you don't clean the infection, it's gonna kill you.
Yeah, it's going to spread and kill you, yeah.
Yeah. So,
I agree.
Yeah, you know, and that's the infection of immorality. It's very immoral here. Like, and don't get me wrong. Yes, it's immoral here in America, but you know, immorality, it's spread out across the world. It's, I ain't gonna just say it's just America, you know, because you can see it everywhere. It's just here we take it to another level. As a matter of fact, let me go on, just jump into this Groundhog Day real quick.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
All right. So, Orlando, Florida, the Orlando Police Department says Nevin Baker was found dead by hanging from a tree in George Barker Park just after 3 a.m. on October the 5th. The authority says it's a suicide because that is, as always, Black people's way of choice. If I'm going to kill myself, yeah, I'm going to make sure I go through all of that to hang myself.
In public, though.
In public, right.
Not in private.
No, I'm going to go out on it by the tree in the park. Now, you can have that. I mean, because we are talking about Groundhog Day, right? You can have that Billie Holiday in your head, right? Strange fruit hanging from the tree. You can say that. Or we can go Ma Mabel and, you know, Daddy's not coming home for dinner. All of these things are things that have historically happened. Groundhog Day. And the lie. The same tired lie. They committed suicide hanging from a tree. Because we've never, I mean, it's just something, it's that phenomenon that Black people do. We hang ourselves from trees because that's an effective way to kill yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I've never seen anybody hang themselves in public anyway, so. Most people, if they commit suicide, it's in private. So I don't know. You know, they want family to find them. They don't want strangers to find them.
Well, I mean, at that point, it doesn't really matter. You killed yourself.
Well, I mean, if you want the... Yeah, but I'm just saying, if you want the lie to make sense, then let it make sense.
Well, see, we're at that point where it doesn't matter about the make sense. The make sense is out the window.
No.
Look, we all know the truth. We all know the truth. At least our side knows the truth. And the truth is, yeah, some racist, Cardi, and Hungy. Now, that's something that we understand. And that's a reality. Yeah. Now other folks that we don't want to talk about that. It's just let's just not talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll see people, it's too much. I mean, Mental Health Day, I can't deal with this stuff. I remember reading social media where folks was taking days off because the presidential debate was too mentally tiring for them.
They were too stressed out for the presidential debate now.
Right. And see, that's what I say when I talk about politics, you know, and how politics is a big deal for them because we are talking about power, true power, and how things are run and how things are controlled and it affects real life for them because they get to participate in the power debate. on a realistic scale, meaning, you know, their influence matters because, you know, you talk about like organization, we talk about on all levels how they fit and how they mold things and how this is how things, this is how we make things happen. From the PTA to the unions, I mean, every aspect of life. There's homeowners association. All of these organizations are set up to make sure that we participate in a realistic power dynamic. And so, you know, when you exist on that level, yeah, debates can be, you know, because you're looking at your 401k. You're looking at all the things that you exist in realistically. You know, we don't have that. We don't have power on that scale where stuff like that can affect us.
Exactly.
Because we don't live on that scale. There are some people who are successful in this country, but as far as a power dynamic like that, where you would say, as a community, as a, you know, as a city, the culture, that's not how we participate here. It's just not how we do, because we're not together like that in no aspects, you know. So,
yeah.
For example, I read something and I had an initial reaction, and then I had to look at myself and say, you know what? I can't have that reaction. What am I talking about, Brown Sugar?
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about two police officers in Maine. They were fired from the Rockland Police Department following a criminal and internal investigation into allegations leveled against them. Addison Cox and Mike Rollerson were fired. You want to know why they were fired, Brown Sugar?
Why?
They were fired for beating porcupines to death.
What?
Yes. They were fired after beating porcupines to death with their batons while on duty.
And why were they doing that?
Yeah, because they're crazy.
They were mad at the porcupine.
they're just crazy. It's crazy, folks. So I ain't asking why. It's obvious they're crazy as hell. Because they beat porcupines to death. Probably not because they stepped on them or anything like that. Just, I see a porcupine, I'm going to beat it to death. So at first, I was fucking furious. I was like, what? These officers got fired for fucking killing porcupines, and we can't get charges on none of these officers for killing black folks. You know, that was my first... That was my first reaction. I'm sitting up there like, these here I'm. Ah! But then I thought, the Rockland Police Department did the right thing. I mean, if you think about it, if you got people that's crazy enough on the humdrum to just beat the shit and kill porcupines. Not because they're being attacked by porcupines, allegedly. It was just, I saw some porcupines. I'm going to kill them.
Yeah.
And so perceptions, right? You know, like I said, at first, it was hot. It was in my feelings. I'm sitting in here like, these monks here. But then I thought, yeah, they did the right thing. Because if they're killing porcupines, Lord knows what they would do to regular people. So
that is true.
Shout out to the Rockland Police Department. It's like we ain't even gonna fool with y'all ass. Y'all out here killing porcupines, so you're obviously crazy as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They crazy as hell. And they fired them. And it got me to thinking, you know what? Maybe we need the people from the Rockland Police Department in charge of all the police departments. I'm just saying.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, because if we're thinking about it, and yeah, I know it's a stretch because, once again, people may think porcupines are more important than black people. Yes, I know that's the next argument, right? It's like, but it's porcupines, though. It's porcupines. But I'm just saying, they made the right call.
Yeah.
We didn't wait on you to beat on people. We saw that you was crazy enough to just stop and just be killing animals. So it wasn't even dogs, it was porcupines. You know what? Now you start thinking, if, and this is the crux of the argument. If they were corrupt, if they were like some other places, you'd just be like, man, why y'all out there killing porcupines? Stop that shit. And let them keep their job. Let them keep their job. But now, you can make the argument that, yeah, you out here killing indiscriminately, you can't be a police officer. There's something there. There's just something there, right? I'm just saying, I had to think about it and put it in that perspective.
That's a positive perspective to be in. So that's
I'm just saying. So maybe in Rockland, the Rockland Police Department, there might be a few people who, you know, might believe that police shouldn't be crazy and out there indiscriminately killing. Even though it has something to do with porcupines. I'm gonna say, you know what? They still made the right. Maybe we need that kind of thinking. Maybe we need that kind of thinking. And on that note, for Miss Brown Sugar, I'm Mr. F the N-word. This is another Smooth Drum production. If you want to keep going with us, you can go to the Smooth Drama chat room. We'll be in chat. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you guys
move. Drama.